It is New Year's, and it's a very difficult time at the moment for many people navigating through the festive season. And also now, we've got COVID-19, so it's not helping. A lot of people aren't home. On the line is Alice Coelho. She's a clinical psychologist. Good morning, Alice, and welcome to 702.
Good morning, Ray. Thank you for the opportunity to be of service this morning.
It really is good to make yourself available. Thank you, because so many people this morning, they may be on their own, and of course, there's COVID-19. 2021 could be even harsher, and I'm not being negative, I'm just being realistic, could be harsher than 2020. What do people need to have to equip themselves to get through this very difficult time?
You know, this is a question that I've been asked in various contexts over the last year, and it always amazes me that I come back to the same answer every time. You know, if you think about the word corona in Spanish, it means crown. Mm. And if I look at the human being from a psycho, spiritual, and emotional perspective, our crown, the area above our head, is sort of like the bridge between our physical selves and our higher selves. And I really believe that 2020 really pushed everyone to have to ask an important question. And the question is, who am I? Who are we, you know, as a nation, as families, as a country, as a global community? And who do we aspire to be? It was kind of a reminder to start practicing mindfulness. When I say practice, I really mean practice, because it is a daily endeavor. It isn't something that you master and think, well, it's done and dusted and you can tick it off your Excel spreadsheet. Mm. But what it really is it asks you to be mindful, and we've had to be mindful in terms of our relationship to ourselves, and managing our inner life world, managing our internal environment and landscape. So our thoughts, our emotions, and how those impact how we choose to be, you know, what our attitudes are going to be, what our beliefs are going to be, and what our choices in terms of behavioral manifestation is going to be. Mm. And then that brings me to, you know, the work of Dr. Viktor Frankl, which has never been more relevant than it is now. And I agree with you. I think going into the new year, it's going to be a challenge. But I say to people, you know, Viktor Frankl survived the concentration camps. He was a psychiatrist and a world-renowned neurologist. And he said, you know, he really had a 1 in 28 chance of surviving, and he did. And he said, you know, people were stripped of all of their freedoms. And the one freedom that no one could ever take from him or from us now, and this is something we need to anchor ourselves deeply in, is our last human freedom is our freedom to choose what our attitude is going to be.
Yeah.
When we're confronted with situations that we cannot change, when we resist something, it persists. And he says, so when you can't change the situation, you are then invited to change yourself, to change your attitude. And there's your last human freedom, the freedom to choose between a stimulus and a response. There's that gap, and I've got to choose now how I'm going to respond. And that requires the practice of being mindful in terms of our thoughts, our emotions, our relationships, and to ask the question, Who am I, and who am I aspiring to be?
Right.
And set that kind of as a destination, and then check in with yourself on a daily basis. You know, am I living who I want to be in this moment? Am I growing? Am I shedding the past and my old ways of thinking, being, and feeling to make space for, you know, new ways of thinking, being, and feeling?
Yeah. How do you do that, though? Because some people are lonely, they're scared. It's a bad combination to put that together. And to create that self-awareness, to create that feeling amongst yourself, very often people battle with that.
Well, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're asking, you know, practically how do we go about doing this? And, you know, you said something that was very interesting, you know, a connection. I think the work of Dr. Brené Brown is also was something that really my clients, both in the corporate sector and in the private sector, found particularly useful. And she was talking about the, you know, the importance of connection. But we cannot have true connection without true vulnerability. And people are afraid to be vulnerable. You know, we have to put up this shield and this mask that we're strong and we're untouchable and that we shouldn't have these emotions, and we judge that we have these emotions. And I think we're all going through grief. We've all, had to face real and symbolic losses. And so we're going to go through a process of grief. And in that process of grief, I think the worst thing you can do is to suppress what you're feeling, hide it from others. So, you know, my advice to all my clients was reach out, talk to your family, talk to friends. This was also a time that made people aware of, you know, we can be surrounded by our family, we can be surrounded by people, and we can be going about doing our daily things, but really be very disconnected. So, you know, the idea that pre-COVID-19 we were very connected is an illusion.
Yeah.
I think we were distracted. What this has done is it's pushed us to bring into mindful awareness where we really were at and what do we want to do with that and how do we want to do it differently. So, you know, I was very privileged in this time to work in an organization that's predominantly male-orientated in the mining sector and facilitate groups on emotional intelligence. And people always think that getting through difficult times is a really, we have to do complex things. And really we don't. We have to do simple things, but we have to do them mindfully. And what we did in these groups is, you know, we gave people permission to normalize what was normal feelings to have.
Yeah.
And to practice this from a curious, compassionate, non-judgmental stance. And just to hold and acknowledge it, it's normal to feel what we're feeling, that we're not alone, that many, and as we share with other people, though we're afraid to, but it's so important, as we share with other people, we realize that it's actually quite normal. Everyone is feeling this, and then we can start generating, we're not all going to be down at the same time. We're not all going to be joyful and happy at the same time. And in that way, we can then support one another. So this is really important.
It's interesting you say that. Sorry. It's interesting you say that because it comes down to national unity and the unity of South Africans. And so at times we are not unified. I look at our SMS line this morning and I can see at least three or four different groups of people saying pretty much the same thing, but all sort of defying each other. Would that not help in sort of bringing people together that there is a common cause, there's a common enemy, and we need to stick together?
I couldn't agree with you more. One of the research results that came out of some of these groups that were facilitated was people were saying that they never realized at the, you know, we do intellectually realize that we're all human beings, but when we're pushed and stretched emotionally, you know, our emotional skin becomes very thin. We can either go into more of our divisive kind of behavior, or we can say, well, you know, we're not going to survive this on our own. And then what we saw with these groups of individuals was that they felt more connected, more unified, just by sharing and then collectively coming up with strategies in the process of being vulnerable with each other, coming up with strategies to support one another. And one of the most powerful things one of these members said to me was, you know, we've been through so many cohesion-building exercises, culture-building exercises, but none were as powerful as COVID-19 because it really pushed us to dig deep and ask, well, do I want to be part of the solution or do I want to continue to perpetuate the problem? And how do I start? And, you know, I said to all my clients, you start first with yourself. You cannot be compassionate with others and tolerant of others if you don't first practice that with yourself. And I'm not talking about, you know, making excuses for yourself. I'm talking about truly being compassionate with that it's normal to feel out of control. It's normal to feel afraid. Mm. It's normal to feel stretched. But to consider, I'm either going to shrink in relation to that or I'm going to expand. And we're invited to go on kind of like a hero's journey, you know, and on that hero's journey, you're going to be confronted with both your friends and your foes from an external environment perspective, but also from an internal environment perspective, your mind. And you're going to get to the dragon's cave. And that cave we fear to enter is also the one that holds the, you know, the elixir.
Yeah.
That if we transform ourselves, we can transform our communities. And this is what I saw. And so the work of developing emotional intelligence was really pivotal in helping people through really, really difficult times. And understanding that you can be a very strong individual and having these emotions does not detract from your strengths.
A lot of people don't know that, though, Alice. A lot of people don't know that. They think to be afraid, to be scared, is a vulnerability, and there's something wrong with them. But what we're going through now as a nation, as a globe, as the rest of the world, I'm looking this morning, Japan battling COVID-19, United States the same, it's everywhere. We actually have a situation now that it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be in this situation because we've never been here before. Perhaps the Second World War we were, but not since then.
Yes, absolutely. And this is one of the things, you know, fears, in I think it was Jordan Peterson that said it really beautifully. You know, he said, it's as we go on this like hero's adventure, if you choose to engage in this, you know, in this process from that perspective, it's not that we become less fearful exactly. He talks about us just growing in courage. It's doing these things despite being fearful, you know. So in the groups that I facilitated, people were afraid to say, I'm afraid. But in having the courage to say that, suddenly they realized, well, everyone is feeling this. Actually, this is pretty normal. So how can we support each other? Do we want to continue feeding fear, or do we want to continue feeding support, compassion, care?
What about laughter? What about laughter?
Oh,
that's like a medicine, well, isn't it?
It's a huge medicine. And some of the medicines that I strongly recommended and that I had to practice my very self was, you know, connecting to joy. Because what happens when we go through something that's a traumatic, unprecedented and sudden change is that we feel a loss of control and we feel a loss of power. And that generates an enormous amount of anxiety. And what anxiety does is it pushes us to live in our heads. And I think it was the Dalai Lama that said, you know, anxiety is a waste of a really beautiful imagination. It's just our creative thought, you know, being completely unchanneled, you know, and depression is living in the past. And so one of the things I say to people is try to connect to the moment. Try to go back to your breath. Practice finding joy in little things. And people always go, well, you know, it's hard to find joy because we have the expectation that the thing that must bring us joy must proportionately be larger than the thing that has brought us tragedy.
Exactly. No, exactly. You're quite right.
And that's a fallacy. You know, I speak with clients. I practice this myself and often with my family. We talk about, you know, today, what is one small thing that brought you joy? And if it is, you know, seeing a beautiful plant in your garden or noticing birds weaving a nest, you know, that's a reminder that, you know, we can rebuild and rebuild and rebuild. Then, you know, do that small thing. If it is that smell of cup of coffee in the morning, that can bring you joy. People always go to quantities better than quality. And what I have found is it's pushed us to recalibrate and manage those expectations.
It's very important.
The things that keep us stuck.
It really is very important that you do that. You treat yourself well. Alice Coelho, unfortunately, clinical psychologist, we are way out of time. Have a great 2021. And thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. And I wish you and your listeners a blessed new year filled with many challenges and opportunities to be their better selves.
Lovely. Thank you, Alice. I do appreciate that. And that wraps up the show, but perhaps not a very good point. Just be good to yourself. And we're going to go into, I think we are in a very difficult situation at the moment. A lot of people have said 2020 is gone. Yeah, 2021 is here. We're going to be just fine. And we are going to be fine. I think that is the bottom line. The problem, though, is I think COVID David's going to be with us a little bit longer. Love to chat to you on Atre White SA. You can also keep your SMSs coming throughout the day on 702.